Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today is Bishop E. Renee Soule of New Beginnings Bible Ministry in Hammond. He was a speaker recently at a meeting I attended to, and he spoke about some things that I think you might be interested in. So, welcome, Bishop Soule. Glad you're here today.
It's glad to be here, Bob, and enjoying this moment and looking forward to talking to our audience.
Well, great. One of the things that you talked about the other day that piqued my interest, you used the word social entrepreneur. And usually, you know, you talk about entrepreneurship as a profit thing, but social entrepreneur is interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about what that concept means to you?
Yes, it's a journey that I've been on in my development of my business, E. Renee Soule and Associates. We do business development. We coach businesses. We work with nonprofits. We work with boards. We train boards. We do fundraising. We do grant writing. And we do for-profit as well. And in all of that, I was reading an article in Entrepreneur Magazine, really good periodical. A lot of good stuff comes out of there. And it was really talking about these new businesses that are coming out who are looking to make an impact in community where the bottom line is not the bottom line. And that resonated with me. And so I floated that idea out there. This is about 5-6 years ago. And I asked my network to give me some feedback on what they thought about this social entrepreneur moniker. And it was overwhelming positive.
So the bottom line's not the bottom line. You have a different motive in doing this.
Absolutely. We still got to cover costs. We got to cover expenses. We got to pay bills. We got to pay salary. We want to do that, but we also want to make sure that we are doing something good in the community with that business, whether it's a for-profit or a nonprofit.
But what might some of these businesses be? But what would one look like?
Well, hey, this time of year, taxes.
Okay, great.
Okay. We all got to deal with it.
Yeah, we do.
We got to run from it.
Yes, we do.
Can't run from it. So somebody could have a tax service, a consulting firm, okay? And I don't know if you know, but I kind of look at the market and see, how much are you paying for this tax service? $300, $400? But how much does it really cost? You can get a TurboTax program for like $100 and go through it and coach somebody through it and do it yourself.
Okay.
And so you can help people understand their taxes while they're getting them prepared as just doing them and taking money from them. And so you're giving them education as you're providing them a service. And so now they understand better how to structure their finances so they can maximize and pay the less amount of taxes legally. And so that's one thing you could do, and that's from a for-profit perspective. You can look at other methods. Nonprofits, certainly we always think of nonprofits doing this work. Many nonprofits don't have the community at heart. One of the key things we look at in the nonprofit world is your admin cost, what we call above-the-line costs.
Okay.
If your administrative costs are over 25%, that means the majority of your revenue is going to support your internal operations. And in a nonprofit environment, that's not good. You want those administrative costs, those internal operational costs, to be around 10 to 15% or less, because you want those revenues that you are collecting from the community. These are donations coming from individuals or foundations or grants. You want that money to go back out into the community to provide the service, whatever that service might be. And so the lower the administrative costs, the more efficient and effective your operations are in terms of providing that service to the community.
So in putting a business together, the focus is really service, helping people with as little expense, a little taking out of the resources to provide that service to individuals.
And that is a totally different dynamic in the world of social entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And we are growing. We are becoming a real strong sector of businesses and business leaders who no longer are moved by just the profits, the dividends, the perks, the Learjets, the limos, whatever you, we're not at that level, Bob, don't they? Okay. But that's how we get there, because it's called greed, and it has taken over our business fabric, I believe. I believe we should make a profit. I believe we should be rewarded for the efforts that, you know, we put into our businesses. But how much is enough?
Well, you're singing my song. This is a really an important consideration in reaching for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because along with this, not only are we providing a service, but we're also, in everything we do, being a good witness to our employees and to the people that we serve. Because we know where our motivation comes from, and it comes from Jesus Christ, to be able to serve the community. So it's making a social impact in that area as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And people sometimes get into these ideologies, and they hear that word social, and they go crazy. But this is a good social, and this is not a freebie. Somebody, you know, gets something for nothing. No, we are businesses. We are business leaders who are looking at what's needed in community and providing that critical need at the lowest cost possible. That's what we do.
What are some of the tracks that you run on to change that situation?
It starts at the local level. Is that the majority of job creation starts with small businesses.
Yes,
it's small businesses. It's mom and pops, it's entrepreneurs, it's cottage industries, it's folks in the garage, in the basement, who have an idea, who have a dream, who have a passion, and they keep tweaking at it, they keep working at it, and finally, you know, it fruitions into a business, and now they're getting paid, and now they bring on a staff, and now they go out and get an office, and now, you know, and so we need to foster that type of economic development. Too often what we look for is the big businesses, the big boxes. We're always recruiting these large companies to come in, and we give them so many tax breaks. That's why we have the fiscal mess that we have, because we've given away so many tax breaks to these large companies to come in. And whose tax money is that that's being given away? Yours and mine, Bob, the average consumer who pays taxes. That's whose tax dollars are being given to these big companies to come in, and then the return on investment doesn't match up.
So our initiative then, and your initiative, is to help small business, to help entrepreneurs to succeed in what they do, so that they can provide the jobs that people need, provide opportunity, training for people, so they can take care of themselves. So we really want to change the focus from the big corporations down to helping the average Joe to be successful in life.
And really, and that is so necessary, it is so true, but again, the perception, and you know, everybody's reality is their perception.
That's right.
And we get these talking heads on TV, and even I'm on the mic, and I hope I don't become a talking head. There's fact behind what I'm saying, and if you go to the Small Business Administration website, or if you go to Greater New Orleans Foundation, if you go to Greater New Orleans Inc., and you drill down and do your own homework. Don't just listen to folk who on TV with a title or with alphabets behind their name. Do your own homework. That's find right. Your own facts and truth, and see what's real and what's not. And unfortunately, we live in a fast-paced society. We live in a fast-paced world. We're the microwave generation. 30 seconds is all I got. What needs to happen from an economic development standpoint, we can continue to go after the big boxes, but it can be a both and. We need to create and foster an environment of entrepreneurism. And it's happening on the South Shore. You look at Idea Village, it's like grown like, you got folks coming from all over the world to come to Idea Village, a concept.
A lot of it has to do with taking personal responsibility. You know, if we're always, on one hand, blaming everybody, I could do it except I don't have this and I don't have that. It's their fault that I can't accomplish this thing. And on the other hand, if we don't accept responsibility for ourselves to say, I can do something about this, we're not doing a whole lot to help to grow entrepreneurs and businesses. In our faith, you know, we have to take personal responsibility. I can't get to heaven on your commitment to Christ. I have to step up to the plate and say, Jesus, I need you. And in the same way, entrepreneurs and just individuals need to step up to the plate and say, God gave me gifts. I need to be able to use those gifts in a way that honors him and takes care of the needs of my life.
Amen.
I hear you saying things like
that. You're just pulling the story of the disciples. Look at the disciples. They were all entrepreneurs.
This is true.
Fishermen. Okay? Jesus was a carpenter. But they all had working skills that they thrived in their businesses, and they gave up those businesses for a greater business, winning souls. But you're right. We all have a God-given talent. We all have a God-given gift. We all have a God-given purpose. And we need to find out what is that purpose. And I can tell you where you might find out. What is it you're passionate about?
Oh, yeah.
If you find out what you're passionate about, there could lie your purpose. But it's going to take a faith walk because you're not going to see it.
Well, I've always taught my children that when you have found the right job when on Monday you say, oh boy, I get to do it again. And on Friday you would say, I can't believe they pay me to do this. That's when you found the right one. And I guess that's what I hear you saying. It all follows passion.
Right.
What do you like doing? You'll never work another day in your life.
And it is so true. A good friend of mine, Apostle Georgia Otlaw from the Baltimore, Maryland area. I spent some time up in the D.C. area. And years ago, she gave me this statement and principle. If your occupation and your vocation and your calling can all line up, and it can, you are in a blessed position. And Bob, I'm in that blessed position.
Amen.
I'm in that blessed position.
Yes.
And so I don't work. Okay. I've had jobs, traditional jobs, government jobs, but they paid me to do what I would do for free.
Amen. We have a good friend here in town to go to church with that has an automotive repair shop and tire shop. He says, my business is my pulpit. He said, do not ask me to stand up and teach a Sunday school class.
Right.
Do not ask me to stand up and give a testimony or preach a message.
Right.
He said, it's not my place.
Right.
He said, but my business is my pulpit. And he uses his business to exemplify the elements of the gospel that are so endearing to people's hearts. He loves people. He helps people. When people come in and they need something, he'll find a way to help them solve their problem. Does he make a good living? Outstanding. Is he an important part of the community? You better believe it. Is his pulpit productive? Absolutely, in winning people to Christ. And I see that as part of what you're talking about.
It is the new dynamic in church ministry today. The traditional is good, and we need that foundation. But again, it needs to be a both and.
Yes.
Because if you look at the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he did not spend a lot of time in the synagogue. If you study the gospel and you follow the footsteps of Jesus, he did not spend a lot of time in what we call church. Where he spent most of his time was in community.
I recently talked with Pastor Lawrence Weatherby of Living the Word International Church.
Know him well.
And he was talking about a member of his church who started a business primarily to help young men who just needed somebody to believe in them, somebody to teach them a skill so that they could go out and become a productive member of society. And he went into it, business 100%. But the idea that his goal was to take these young men and teach them what they needed to know to become productive members of society, incredible witnesses, and I'm saying a credible witness to the loving nature of Jesus Christ.
And that is ministry in its highest form.
Yes, it is.
It's transformational. But it's coming alongside of someone where they are and identifying with them and then working and walking beside them, encouraging and supporting them to help them find that spark, find that path. And then they're off and they're gone.
You know, in the big picture, we're really trying to influence culture.
Yes.
We're trying to change the way people think about business, the way people think about themselves. We're really in this social entrepreneurship. It's influencing culture in a positive way, which leads people to the gospel naturally, but without beating them to death with the Bible.
Absolutely. So as you were saying about your automotive friend, I feel the same when I'm working with a nonprofit board and I'm doing a training, or I'm working with a political group and I'm doing leadership, or I'm working with a Catholic congregation and I'm doing the racial sobriety diversity workshop. For some reason, we have allowed the world to define ministry as something that happens on Sunday. Ministry does not happen on Sunday. I know people are going to argue with me, and all my pastor friends are going to call me up and text me, but hear me out. Ministry does not happen on Sunday. What happens on Sunday is education and celebration.
Yes, it is.
That is what happens on Sunday, okay? Ministry happens Monday through Saturday. That's ministry, what you do Monday through Saturday. And if we can get the Church of Jesus the Christ to move back to the very first church and the mission and the mythology of which it operated, we can have more impact, and we can address and tear down all of these things that are hurting what made us a great nation and a great people, values and different cultures. But we got to go back, you know, to that very first church.
Oh, yes.
And see how they did what they did, because for whatever reason, and I love technology, I'm not a great technology person, but my children and my grandchildren keep me on point. But some of the comforts and some of the things that have helped us to do faster, quicker, has also made us less kinder, less connected. I'm talking to the Christian church. We got to find our way back.
Yes. You know, at one time, we, the church, were the center of the community.
At one time.
Everything here in America.
At one time.
Everything focused around the church. When governmental leaders were making decisions, it was always on their mind. What is the church going to say about this? When economic things happen, where's the church? When you have meetings, the influence that we had on society at one time was incredible. And we voluntarily backed off.
Yes.
We voluntarily got comfortable in our church club. We got voluntarily got comfortable with our eating meetings. And we gave up the social things that we need to do in favor of the government.
And that is so true, because if you look at the origins of our country, and I'm a historian buff, I love history, okay? And if you look at the origins of America, and you look at all of the founding documents,
yes,
that established America, every founding document points that America was established to be a Christian nation. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to be a Christian, because God gave us free will to choose to follow or not. So it's not a question of whether we're forcing folks to be Christian because we say we are a Christian nation, but that was the standard upon which this nation was founded.
Absolutely.
And we have lost our way.
And it's time to come back.
It is time to come home.
It's time.
It is time to come home.
It's time for us as men of God, as Christian men,
right,
to get back into the community and influence culture, influence the working culture, influence the social culture, influence the entertainment culture.
It is time for us to be like Jesus. In Luke 2, it says, Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with man and God. Jesus could go anywhere. He could go down talk to the prostitute. He could go talk to the drunk. He could go talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious hierarchy of that day. He could go with the common people. He could go anywhere. And he fit. And we've become so polarized. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the Christian.
Yes.
Not the world. The Christian America has become so polarized. God is not polarized. God is above all, in all. And there's only one God.
Well, this has been an awesome time. You've got me fired up, brother.
You got me, Bob. You're pulling it out of me.
I think I want to go start a business and do something.
Yeah, do that. Definitely do that.
Well, Bishop Sula has been an awesome. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I just want to say that, you know, my passion is real. I do this 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can find me. I have an electronic footprint. My email address is erenesule.com. But if you type in erenesule, you'll find me. If you type in erene54, you'll find me. If you want to talk, you want to continue this conversation, you want to bring me to your church, bring me to your group. And let's not forget our young people. We need to help them. They need us. They need us to wrap our arms Absolutely. Around them. We need to show them that there is a way for them to be successful. I do a lot of social justice advocacy work for youth. I do a lot of leadership work for youth. I do workforce development for youth. We don't need to give up on them.
Amen.
We need to help them because guess what? You didn't get here without somebody's help.
That's
somebody
right.
helped you. I know somebody helped me. Besides my daddy and my mommy, somebody else helped me. And somebody else invested in me so I can be who I am today. And so I'm turning around and I'm investing in somebody else so they can be who they need to be as God has designed them to be. Yes. And also support our veterans. Our veterans need our help. I work with two great veteran organizations, Camp Nora, No One Rides Alone, Ed Cowboy Lewis and Willie Bryce and Colonel Evan Spriceton. We're working on transitional shelter here in St. Tammany, and then I also work with the Quad Vets program in Hammond, Louisiana, Wallace Sibley and Willis Gillum. Two great programs supporting veterans, men and women. We need to make sure we take care of our vets. So
Amen.
Please reach out to me. Please call me. My phone number, 225-245-0439. Bob, it's been a pleasure. It's great.
Loved having you. Hope we get to do this again sometime.
Yes, anytime.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you again, Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us at 985-250-1037. You'll leave a comment. You can send us a text. And if you have thoughts on today's programming, if Bishop Sule said something that kind of got you fired up and excited, we'd like to know about it. Send us a text. Tell us about it. 985-250-1037. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where we advertise our programming. Also, check in at our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net. You can leave a tax-deductible donation. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, that phone number is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.